children to go to children's church. Middle and high schoolers can go to confirmation class with Katie. And I just want to pray real quick. Lord, thank you so much for the youth of Redeemer. Thank you for our volunteers. I ask you to bless them, bless their leadership this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Also want to say a quick hello to our online worshipers. We're glad that you're with us this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, excuse me, if you have your bulletin handy or your Bibles, we'd invite you to open up to our Deuteronomy passage. We'll be working mostly from this one today. This is one of the most famous and revered passages in all of the Hebrew scriptures, containing what's known as the Shema, or the Hear, O Israel passage. And it's been noted that Judaism doesn't really have a creed or a statement of faith the way that the Christian faith does, but if it did, the Shema would be it. Because these verses from Deuteronomy are hugely important to Jewish identity and faith. They are the central affirmation of monotheism. They're a stirring and succinct reminder that God's creation is called to holy living and holy loving. The Shema is so important, it's incorporated into the Jewish cycle of daily prayer and repeated twice a day, in the morning and in the evening. And Jesus quotes from the Shema in the summary of the law, which we heard just a few moments ago. It opens up nearly every one of our worship services here at Redeemer. Jesus calls it the great and first commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. In fact, these few verses from Deuteronomy are so central to the Judeo-Christian outlook, we even walked past them this morning. This Messianic synagogue where we share a worship space with our brothers and sisters of Beth Israel has a mezuzah attached by the front door. It's a small metal case, has Hebrew writing on it. Inside of it is an actual scroll with the Shema written on it in accordance with verse 9 from our reading today. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So having the Shema in front of us in all these different ways serves as a reminder for us, not only of what God calls his people to believe, but also how God calls his people to behave. And that word, that's a reminder. Reminder is key. Why do we need reminders? Why would practicing Jews say the Shema twice a day? Why would it be affixed to the front door? This is an obvious question, perhaps, but not a trick question, I assure you. Why do we, this isn't as Jews or as Christians, why do we as human beings need reminders? We forget. And God knows that we forget, and God knows that we need reminders. Now, over the years, I've come across competing claims in various biblical commentaries regarding which commandment is the most repeated commandment in Scripture. What's that one thing that God really wants to make sure his people do? What does he tell us more than any other? So I've read some things that say the most repeated commandment in Scripture is be not afraid, do not fear. And it's good to realize that that is a commandment. We're actually commanded not to fear. And I think it's wonderful that God doesn't seem to get tired of telling his people over and over again that we don't need to be afraid. He knows that we're prone to fear. And like a father, he gently reminds his children over and over again, you don't need to be afraid. I know you're afraid. You don't need to be afraid. But I've also read other things that say the most repeated commandment in God is God's call that his people remember. God commands us to lead lives of remembrance because God knows very well that we are a forgetful people. And so he tells us time and time again to remember the things he has done, to remember that he is God and we aren't. He tells us, remember so you don't forget. Now, I assure you, I'd had the best intentions. I was going to settle this debate once and for all, go through the Bible line by line, make a spreadsheet, figure out which one was said the most of all. Didn't get to that this week. But at least remembrance is in the top two, all right? And this is one of the commandments that we encounter in our passage today from Deuteronomy 6, verse 12. Take care, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Take care, lest you forget. Other translations render that as watch yourself, that you don't forget, or be careful not to forget. And all these turns of phrase, taking care, watching yourself, being careful, all of them suggest an intentionality, a purposeful approach to the act of remembering. God is calling us to be deliberate about the ways that we go about not forgetting the things that are of vital importance for us to remember. Today's passage also shows us this isn't only about what we remember, it's also about why we remember it, how we remember it, and how we get the next generation to remember it as well. And that last part is especially important. How we get the next generation to remember. Because how do you get a child to remember something that they didn't live through? How do you help the next generation to remember something that was part of someone else's story, not necessarily theirs? And that's not easy. And in verse 20, we come across this hypothetical conversation between a father and a son. There's a question and there's a response. Now, Moses is the one speaking here in this passage, but he's providing the sample conversation and posing it as a kind of conversation that's going to be a matter of when, not if, when your kid asks you, so what's the meaning of this? Why do we do these things? Why do we live life this way? When those questions come, how will you respond? And according to Moses, that hypothetical conversation can go more or less like this. Why do we live life this way? Well, I'll tell you, son. We do it because God has done great things for us. What great things? Well, let me tell you. About slavery in Egypt. Let me tell you about his signs and wonders. Listen to me. I'll tell you about what God brought us out of and what he's bringing us into. It's just a beautiful little passage here. It's almost like a short screenplay or a script. This imagined conversation between a parent and a child, anticipating the kinds of questions that someone will eventually ask when they haven't lived through all the things that their elders lived through. I don't know about you, but I relate to this. My parents had to tell me about things like the Kennedy assassination, the moon landing. They told me where they were. They told me what it meant to them, how it affected them, how it changed the world as they knew it, which was the world that I had just inherited. And I don't think I really had an appreciation for how difficult that can be until I had to tell my kids about things like 9/11. Like, what do you mean you didn't live through this? To understand that this is just their world. So when it comes to the questions about our faith, why we live our lives this way, why we conduct ourselves in this particular direction and do these things, these questions can be easy to anticipate but hard to answer. And it's hard sometimes for us to know how to get at the why behind them. And so God, through Moses, essentially tells his people, well, don't just say we do this stuff because we do it. That's how it's always been done. God told us to do it. There's more to it than that. If you're going to help the next generation remember the things that they need to remember. And verse 7 gets at this too when it says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Teach what? Well, the commands of the Lord, the words of the Lord, the works of the Lord, who he is and what he has done. Teaching that this God that we serve is a God worth trusting, and therefore he is a God worth obeying. Teaching that this God actually loves us, and that we're to love him too with everything we've got, with all our heart, all our soul, all our might. You shall teach them diligently to your children. There's a contemporary Jewish scholar. He's a Bible translator and a commentator named Robert Alter. And he published a well-regarded and highly anticipated translation of the five books of Moses about 20 years ago, if it can ever be said that a new translation of Deuteronomy is highly anticipated. But in his translation of this verse, he rendered it a little bit differently. Rather than saying, you shall teach these things to your children, he phrases it as, you shall rehearse them to your children. And Alter explains his choice of phrasing there. He says that the Hebrew word in that passage is a variation of two words that share a common root, the word for repeat and the word for sharpen. And as the translator, he chose the word rehearse as the closest English approximation of that idea. And I think the word rehearse does get at that. Repetition for the sake of sharpening, for the sake of strengthening. My two oldest boys are in a play right now. They've been in rehearsals almost every day. And even though they're repeating the same stuff every day, the same lines, the same movements, the same scenes, they wouldn't say that that repetition is boring or pointless. They love going to rehearsal because rehearsal is moving them towards something. They know they're getting better at their show. They're getting it ready to present to others. There's measurable progress, and that's a good feeling, and they love it. So rehearsal is repetition, but it's purposeful repetition. It's a sharpening. It's a honing. In that vein, then, it seems that these Deuteronomy verses are saying that the antidote to our human tendency towards forgetfulness is in something more than just head knowledge, more than just saying, yeah, God needs to be trusted and obeyed. And those things are important, of course, don't get me wrong. There are true things that need to be said and repeated. But today's passage seems to suggest that God's people also need to be about rehearsing these things with the children in their midst. Because rehearsal takes things beyond our heads and helps them take root in our heart and grow there. And Deuteronomy even provides us with a little snapshot of what that kind of rehearsal might look like. It's a vivid and beautiful little picture. Rehearse these things with your children. When you're sitting at home, when you're walking by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. In other words, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, that's the perfect time to do this. The best time is now. God is encouraging us in this passage. He's saying, look, this kind of rehearsing can be accomplished in the process of just doing life, in the day-to-day stuff that we're already doing. We can share about God, reflect on what he's done for us, reflect on why he is worth trusting and obeying, all in the course of just living life together. And here's a weird thing that I've found, maybe you can relate. As we share all the ways that God has come through for us, we ourselves remember all the ways that God has come through for us. It strengthens our own faith in the process. When we reflect on why God can be trusted and obeyed, it gives everyone, ourselves included, a little more courage to trust and obey him the next time around. Everybody benefits. And this is one of the ways that we take care, lest we forget the Lord. Now let me pause for a quick commercial break here and just give a plug for Redeemer's Children's Ministries and Student Ministries. I've been privileged to serve as Redeemer's interim youth pastor this spring semester. And I know Scott's not here, but I did want to say congratulations to him and thanks to him for stepping into this new role for discipleship and families at Redeemer. I'm really excited about what God has in store here. So excited, in fact, that Courtney and I want to continue to be a part of it now as volunteers, and I feel confident there are going to be more and more opportunities for all of us to serve our young people and to serve alongside our young people in the months ahead. So get ready. It's going to be exciting. And you don't need me to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway, that children are a gift to the church. They are the future of the church. And so I just want to say that if you felt the Lord tugging on your sleeve to consider getting involved or to at least have a conversation about it, grab me or grab Scott or grab Bill. Let's chat. We have students prepping for confirmation in the fall. They're going to need sponsors. Our youth ministries can always use another volunteer or two, not just as an extra set of hands to pitch in, but as an extra set of ears that can listen to a young person or as an extra set of footsteps for our young people to follow. All right, commercial over. Back to our regularly scheduled program. I want to step back from our passage in Deuteronomy for just a moment so we can reorient ourselves to this moment in history when these words were spoken. The book of Deuteronomy is more or less Moses' farewell speech. This is his final encouragement and exhortation to the people of Israel. The promised land is right in front of them. The battle of Jericho is imminent. And Moses knows that he's not going to go there. He can see the land, but he won't get to go in. But still, he really wants it to go well for the Israelites there. In fact, that's the exact wording used there. The text says, be careful to do these things, that it may go well with you in the land that God has promised, a land flowing with milk and honey. And there it is again. Be careful. Take care, lest you forget. Forget what? That our God is a God who can be trusted. And if he is to be trusted, then he's a God who can be obeyed. If you can trust somebody, then you can obey them without fear. And it's all too easy for us to forget this. And we have an enemy who wants us to forget this and who tempts us with other things to trust or obey instead. And so we need to be intentional about remembering and about helping others to remember too. In fact, we're commanded to do so. Take care, lest you forget. So if Moses' overall argument here in Deuteronomy 6 were to be distilled down to one phrase, it might be something like this. Remember and help others to remember, you really can trust and obey God. I'd like to take just a couple more minutes to share something that I've observed related to trusting and obeying right here at Redeemer. And I'm not saying this to pat anyone on the back or to say congratulations, because that's not what this is about, but I do feel the need to bear witness to the trusting and obeying that I've seen here these past few months. Now, some of you may know that Courtney and I first started attending Redeemer back in 2009. We became members shortly afterward, and Redeemer has been a dear church body and family to us for many years. And when Redeemer commissioned us in 2015, along with Rick and Carol Wallace, to go out and develop the ministry that would become the Table Fellowship, Courtney and I maintained our membership here, maintained our ties with Redeemer, even though we couldn't come and worship with y'all every Sunday. But then getting reconnected here in January of this year, being able to attend on a weekly basis again, alongside our ongoing work with the Table, It's been a unique experience because I feel like we have a bit of an outsider experience, but also a bit of an insider experience. And Courtney and I could sense it from day one here. There was the weight of the impending move. There were staffing changes and things like trying to find new homes for the pews and the altar rail. There was that final service on Ash Wednesday. It was heavy stuff. It was a lot. I'll tell you, I went into the sanctuary one last time after the pews had been removed. Kind of wish I hadn't done that. There were a lot of milestones that had happened for me and our family in that space. That was hard. I know it isn't always clear to know how to trust and obey God during times like that. But you did trust and you did obey. And I don't know if you can feel it, but every time I enter this sanctuary, it's just like, God, you're so good. God has provided. God has given. It was hard, but you trusted that he would. And sure enough, he did. There's this beautiful space, the natural light, the worship that we've shared together here. We had a baptism on Easter. There's just so many ways the Lord has made his presence known and shown Redeemer the path forward. Now, is this the promised land? No. No. There's still work to be done. There's still places for the church to go. But be encouraged. You have trusted and obeyed. But remember, take care, lest you forget. Keep trusting and obeying. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your gentle reminders time and time again. You never tire of telling us to remember, not to be afraid. We can follow you. Thank you for your goodness. You are a God who can be trusted and obeyed. I pray for all of us in the days ahead, Lord. Strengthen our trust that we may obey you better without fear. In Jesus' name, amen.